It's great to be here in Iowa. Jeff, it's great to be here with you and your fine team. And all of the people out here, you who are involved in the business of agriculture in America, it's a thrill for me to be here with you. I'm from Arkansas, and we're not growing that much corn. We're growing a lot of rice, and this is my part of the country, and I believe in the work of America's agricultural community. I also believe in national security. And that's how I got involved so deeply in this ethanol business. I was a captain teaching economics at West Point in 1973. I'd come back from Vietnam on a stretcher, and I had one more company command, and ended up at West Point teaching economics and political philosophy. And I wrangled an assignment to the Pentagon in the summer of 1973 to write a paper on the energy crisis. We were just starting to pay more for our gasoline, and people were lining up at the pumps, and this European group called the Club of Rome had said we'd be out of oil in the year 2000, and the world was coming down around our ears. And no one inside the Defense Department had really taken a systematic look at it. I was there first. I got to do it. And one of the papers I wrote had to do with the fact that someday, somehow, we might actually have to station U.S. forces in the Persian Gulf to protect the United States' access to oil. Because commencing in the late 60s, we were no longer an oil exporting nation, we were an oil importing nation. And the people in the Pentagon were horrified when I wrote this. This was still during the Vietnam War. They were all afraid of being called up in front of Arkansas's good Senator J. William Fulbright and testifying about why they were trying to start a war. But you know, if you think back now on what's just happened, there's no doubt that, however horrifying it was to suggest U.S. troops might be sent abroad in the 1970s, everybody has to acknowledge it today. I was on Larry King last night, and we were talking about Afghanistan, and is the president going to put more troops in Afghanistan? And one of the callers was the mother of a soldier who was just killed in Afghanistan. And, of course, my heart went out to her. But she said, the president's got to send more troops over there, and he probably will. The commanders asked for more troops over there. But what I keep asking myself is, why can't we as a nation be smart enough to see the problems coming and get out of the way instead of asking our young men and women to go out there and fight and die for something that you can buy in the marketplace or develop in your own country? And that's why I'm a strong believer in biofuels and in ethanol in particular. Ethanol is here now. It's green, and it's made in America. And those are three really important parts of national security for me. Here now. If we go to E15, and the EPA can do this with the stroke of a pen, and they promised us an answer on the 1st of December, if we go to E15, we can save 1 million barrels of imported oil a day. 1 million barrels a day, that's how much Hugo Chavez is selling into the American market. We can stop what is one of the greatest transfers of wealth in the history of mankind. $300 to $500 billion a year going out of the United States, and a lot of it going to people like Chavez who don't share our interests and use that money directly to come back and harm the American people and our businesses and values and our interests abroad. So it is about national security in the sense of not being dependent on foreign oil. It's also about national security in the sense of greenhouse gas emissions. And I know it's pretty chilly out here in Iowa today. And actually, I flew into South Dakota. I actually saw a few snowflakes there. And you've had a really rainy October. And in Arkansas, we had our rainiest October ever. That rain belt wouldn't get off the middle of the country. You can't predict the weather from day to day. But one thing is incontrovertible. The scientific verdict is in. When you build up the concentration of carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases in the atmosphere holds more heat. It's just simple scientific truth. And we're building up the greenhouse gases at the rate of 1.7 parts per million per year. Every year there's more CO2 in the atmosphere because we're consuming and living on hydrocarbon fuels. Ethanol has 60% less, corn-based ethanol has 60% less greenhouse gases in its whole life cycle than does gasoline. And as we continue to work with ethanol and move to cellulosic, we'll be 80%, 90% better. And that's important for our national security as well, because climate change creates the conditions of disorder and disruption where we're going to be sending our military all around the world trying to deal with plagues and political uprisings and natural catastrophes and a lot of other things. And finally, I don't know how many of you all have ever been out to the Middle East and gone to places like Dubai or not, but some of my friends from Arkansas were out there recently, and they came back and they were telling me, oh, it's just the most amazing place. There's a building that's 2,500 feet high. It's the tallest building in the world. They've got an indoor ski slope in a mall, and it's just an amazing place what they're doing. They're building islands out into the Persian Gulf shaped like palm trees. I said, do you like it? He said, yeah, we like it. I said, you should. You paid for it. Because that money came from us. When I drive through Iowa and South Dakota and I look at these communities that have ethanol plants and white-collar or green-collar jobs in these plants, and you look at property values going up, this ethanol is a big business now. It's 500,000 jobs. It's $66 billion. And we've got the technology and the skill and the energy to take this all the way. We're here today in Emmitsburg at the start of the first cellulosic ethanol plant in America, commercial scale. It's going to be here. We're involved in something that's historic. It may have started as gasohol, and it may have started as, hey, if you go to Iowa, they told me when I came up here the first time, said, if you're going to go to Iowa, you better like ethanol. I said, do you have anything against ethanol? I said, well, not really. But it was a sort of a political joke. This is no joke. This is critical to America's national security. And what we've got here is the next stage. We're going from first-generation biofuels, as it's called, with corn, into second-generation biofuels with feedstock that's non-edible feedstock, like what you're seeing out here, these corn cobs. And I want to compliment Jeff Broen, because when you're in the private sector, it's not like being in the military, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you. In the military, you can always look up the chain of command and say, what should I be doing? How much money are you going to give me? And as long as I keep everybody happy, I'm pretty much okay. When you're in the private sector, you're on your own. You're out there. And Jeff has taken a tremendous personal leadership role in getting this forward. I'm one of his big admirers. I work with him in POET. We're together in the growth energy. But I want to recognize Jeff, because, Jeff, we really are making a big step here and a big statement about America. We can significantly reduce our dependence on foreign energy sources. We can strengthen America's national security, and we can make it much less likely in the future that our sons and daughters and grandchildren are going to be sent overseas to fight a war in some part of the world just because we got oil from there or because they were associated with people we got oil from. We need some help, though. Jeff and POET can't do it alone, not even with the Department of Agriculture here. We can't do it alone. We need you all. So your role out here in America's agricultural community is twofold. First, obviously, you're going to make a living and take care of your families, and one of the ways we hope you can do it is by working and being part of this biofuels industry and helping us get the material out of the fields and into the processing plants. But secondly, if you believe in this, if you believe in this country like I do, if you believe that energy independence is important that made in America is important, that dealing with climate change is important, then we need your voice as well as your labor here in Iowa. We need your voice nationally. We need you to stand up and tell the powers in Washington that they need to listen to us. Let's get this ruling from E10 to E15 implemented by the EPA. And if the EPA won't do it, let's ask our congressmen and senators to put it in law so we can use America's own growth fuel. And let's encourage our congressmen and senators to do away with this idea of international indirect land use charges or changes that are being weighed against America's agricultural community. I think you probably heard a little about this, but let me just say what the concept of it is so you can, to put it and make it very concrete. They claim that if you put your corn in for ethanol, that it's going to encourage people in Brazil to cut down the rainforest, and therefore they want to inhibit your converting corn into ethanol in order to save the rainforest in Brazil. Now, that is so far-fetched as a policy prescription, it defies imagination. And yet somehow it's crept in to the law and in policy discussions in Washington and even in supposedly reputable magazines. There's about 10 or 15 intervening steps and about 100 other factors that affect rainforest deforestation in Brazil other than what happens in Iowa or South Dakota or American agriculture. And I think we have to stand up and tell our congressmen and senators to use common sense. Common sense is we need this biofuel. We're doing it right. There's no better environmentalist, I believe, in America than America's agricultural community. We need to go to E15. We need to stop indirect land use change charges being levied against our agriculture. Now, if you want to help in this, we ask you to become part of the growth force. That is, join with us in growth energy. We've got the information, Greg, it's back in this corner, right? On how to join with us over here, this corner, on the growth force. We'll help you join with us and give you the express lane to getting your comments into the folks in Washington who are working this issue. So that's the story. Historic day in Emmitsburg, big step for America's national security, big step for America's agricultural community, but the work's not done. We need your help both here and in Washington. Thank you very much.